Chapter 45. I have never been much good at small talk, but as I sat in the stores day after day without seeing a friendly face, I realized how much I used to enjoy chatting with the farmers during my veterinary calls. It is one of the nicest things about country practice, but you have to keep your mind on the job at the same time, or you could be in trouble. And at Mr. Duggleby's, I nearly landed in the biggest trouble of all. He was a smallholder who kept a few sows and reared the litters to pork weight in some ramshackle sheds behind the railway line outside Derby. He was also a cricket fanatic, steeped in the lore and history of the game, and he would talk about it for hours on end. He never tired of it. I was a willing listener because cricket has always fascinated me, even though I grew up in Scotland, where it is little played. As I moved among the young pigs, only part of my attention was focused on the little animals. Most of me was out on the great green oval at Headingley with the Yorkshire heroes. By gore, you should have seen Len Hutton on Saturday. He breathed reverently. 180 and never gave a chance. It was lovely to watch him. He gave a fair imitation of the great man's cover drive. Yes, I can imagine it. I nodded and smiled. You said these pigs were lame, Mr. Duggleby? Aye. Noticed a few of them mopping about with a leg up this morning. And you know, Maurice Leyland was nearly as good. Not as classy as Len, I knows, but by heck, he can clump them. Yes, he's a lion-hearted little player, is Maurice, I said. I reached down, grabbed a pig by the tail, and thrust my thermometer into its rectum. Remember him and Eddie Painter in the test match against Australia? He gave a dreamy smile. Remember it. By God, that's something I'll never forget. What a day that was. I withdrew the thermometer. This little chap's got a temperature of 105. Must be some infection somewhere, maybe a touch of joint ill. I felt my way along the small pink limbs. And yet it's funny. The joints aren't swollen. I reckon Bill Bowes'll skittle Somerset out when they start their innings today. This wicket's to his liking. Yes, he's a great bowler, isn't he? I said. I love watching a good fast bowler. I suppose you'll have seen them all. Larwood, Boche, Geo Allen, and the rest. Aye, that I have. I could go on all day about those men. I caught another of the lame pigs and examined it. This is rather strange, Mr. Duggleby. About half the pigs in this pen seem to be lame, but there's nothing to see. Aye, well, happen it's like you said. Joint ill. You can give them a jab for that, can't you? And while you're doing it, I'll tell you of the time I saw Wilfred Rhodes take 8 wickets in an afternoon. I filled a syringe. Right. We'd better give them all a shot. Have you got a marking pencil there? The farmer nodded and lifted one of the little animals, which promptly unleashed a protesting scream. There was never anybody like our Wilfred, he shouted above the noise. It was about 2:30 when the wicket had had a shower of rain on it when Skipper threw in the ball. I smiled and raised my syringe. It passed the time so pleasantly listening to these reminiscences. Well content, I was about to plunge the needle into the pink thigh when one of the pigs began to nibble at the heel of my Wellington. I looked down at a ring of the little creatures all looking up at me, alarmed by the shrill screeches of their friend. My mind was still with Wilfred Rhodes when I noticed what looked like a small white knob on one of the up-tilted snouts. And there was another on that one, and that one. I had been unable to see their faces until now because they had been trying to run away from me, but a warning bell clanged suddenly in my head. I reached down and seized a pig, and as I squeezed the swelling on the snout, a cold wind blew through me, scattering the gentle vision of cricket and sunshine and green grass. It wasn't a knob. It was a vesicle, a delicate blister which ruptured easily on pressure. I could feel my arm shaking as I turned the piglet up and began to examine the tiny cloven feet. There were more vesicles there, flatter and more diffuse, but telling the same dread story. Dry-mouthed, I lifted 2 other pigs. They were just the same. As I turned to the farmer, I felt bowed down by a crushing weight of pity, almost of guilt. He was still smiling eagerly, anxious to get on with his tale, and I was about to give him the worst news a veterinary surgeon can give a stockman. "Mr. Duggleby," I said, "I'm afraid I'll have to telephone the Ministry of Agriculture." The ministry? What for? To tell them that I have a case of suspected foot and mouth disease. Foot and mouth? Never. Yes, I'm terribly sorry. Are you sure? It's not up to me to be definite about it, Mr. Duggleby. One of the ministry officers will have to do that. I must phone them right away. It was an unlikely place to find a telephone, but Mr. Duggleby ran a little coal delivery round on the side. I was quickly through to the ministry, and I spoke to Neville Craggs, one of the full-time officers. He groaned. Sounds awfully like it, Jim. Anyway, stay put till I see you. In the farm kitchen, Mr. Duggleby looked at me inquiringly. What now? You'll just have to put up with me for a bit, I said. I can't leave till I get the verdict. He was silent for a moment. What happens if it's what you think? I'm afraid your pigs will have to be slaughtered. Every one of them? That is the law. I'm sorry, but you'll get compensation. He scratched his head. But they can get better. Why do you have to kill them all? You're quite right, I shrugged. Many animals do recover, but foot and mouth is fiercely infectious. While you were treating them, it would have spread to neighbouring farms, then all over the country. Aye, but look at the expense. Slaughtering must cost thousands of pounds. I agree. But it would cost a lot more the other way. Apart from the animals that die, just think of the loss of milk. Loss of flesh in cows, pigs and sheep. It would come to millions every year. It's lucky Britain is an island. Reckon you'll be right. He felt for his pipe. And you're pretty sure I've got it? Yes. Ah, well, he murmured. These things happen. The old Yorkshire words. I had heard them so often under circumstances which would make most city folk, including myself, beat their heads against the wall. Mr. Duggleby's small holdings would soon be a silent place of death, but he just chewed his pipe and said, "These things happen."